All right, welcome to the MattCast. I'm your host, Matt Chandler, here with my co-host, Matt Williams.
Hey, yo!
We're broadcasting from our Orange, Texas studios, where you can entertain yourself for multiple hours at a time with an electric fly swatter.
Yeah, they look like tennis rackets.
Yeah, that's right. Today, we are talking about everything.
Everything. We did a live Facebook blast thing, had a lot of good
oh yeah,
views.
So many
more than, I mean, who gets 7 million views in five?
We do.
It's more like 200, but
I mean, still, whatever. Yeah, this is the MattCast.
All right, just coming back from our Facebook Live, kind of got organized just real quick, and then we hit that record button. We got a thank you, audience. A little aggressive there, but we got a list of topics to cover from our feedback. The first one,
yep.
Little nervous about. So not too long ago, there was a house, a flip that we had, put it on the market, and I did a Facebook blast, and it was kind of like a marketing strategy to get people's attentions. The word that I was trying to say is hors d'oeuvres.
Okay.
I believe it's French origin.
Yeah, some finger
like
food
that.
Appetizers.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. And Well, in my marketing strategy, may have been of bad taste, some would say, but I misspelled it. I misspelled it.
Oh, no.
It was hors d'oeuvres.
Oh, no. Autocorrect.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's on a computer. Autocorrect.
Yeah.
But I even added one of those little squiggly E's, like the little asterisk things or whatever.
Trying to
called.
Make it.
Yeah. Yeah, trying to make it French, trying to French it up.
Mm-hmm.
And instead,
Come see our flip and our hors d'oeuvres.
But we had a great turnout, man.
That's
we really
awesome.
Did. Yeah, we had hors d'oeuvres or however you say it. Still,
yeah.
The jury's out on that. But
no, they're not.
No, you know what?
Oh, man. The hors d'oeuvres. I like that. Yeah. That should be on a t-shirt. That could be a band name.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, in this secular world.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, world.
Yeah, you deserve one of those for sure.
Yeah, so for haters out there, it worked, okay?
The people came.
I did get a lot of... talking to from church, but anywho,
so. Yeah, it throws people off too. When I say I like singing on my hooker, and it's the name of my recliner. I don't think about it when I say like I like hooker chairs. They're yeah. like, wait, what? You yeah, like hooker right. chairs? I'm like, yes, I like hooker yeah. chairs. They're very comfortable.
You know, it ain't nothing like just kicking your feet up. On a hooker.
Leather.
Hooker chair, that is.
Yeah,
hooker
leather, and it's, you know, it's cold and warm off at the same time. I mean, it's great.
Oh, my goodness. Let's move on.
All right. So our people that commented on our video, they had some suggestions for things that we can talk about on this episode, and one of them was we should talk about how to keep your friends entertained.
Well, as sevens on the Enneagram.
Yes, we are.
Don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, it just comes natural to us.
Yeah, but for those who aren't, if you're not, I'm sorry, not everybody got to be a seven on this Enneagram type thing.
We're going to pray for you.
Yeah, and by the way, the Enneagram is just it's a social tool to pretty much kind of see where certain people fit in, how to communicate with them.
Self-development
yeah.
for yourself.
Yeah, because yeah. like, so eight, yeah, self-development. For yourself.
Yeah.
That's right. So like with eights, you communicate with eights differently than
That's
you would
right.
communicate with a one.
That's right.
Eights generally are a little more aggressive.
Mm.
In general sense.
So we're talking like Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
man,
that's right.
We're so in sync. We keep doing this stuff in sync. But anyways, yeah. So like, okay. So let's say you have a lunch with Randy Savage himself, and you're like, listen, Randy, there's a few things that we need to talk about, and you skirt, you know, he's going to be like, I don't know what you're talking about, brother, you know?
As soon as you said there's a few things, like, his mind went someplace else, didn't hear anything else you had to say, and was ready to step into Slim Jim. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's right. So you're like, Randy, no, look, here's the problem. Slim Jims, they're just not selling anymore, bro. We got to look at something else.
That's exactly right.
So, but when I'm on a road trip, I am grabbing a Slim Jim. So that is just null and void.
Aren't they good, though? Argument.
Yeah. But keeping your friends entertained, what do you do?
Okay, so... my suggestion would be for the non-sevens to find a seven and just hang out with them, because you're not going to be fun without them. So pick one up at your local Walmart, Target, Goodwill. I don't know. You know, really just find out what you're passionate about and go do that, because you're going to have fun doing what you like to do. So don't do something you don't want to do unless you're trying to be a people pleaser, then that's not good either. So I don't know, just have fun with it, you know?
Right. You can't necessarily force friends. Like, it's one thing to be intentional in a relationship and be like, I want to pour some of my life out into you and kind of meet you halfway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, relationships are work, but sometimes they just don't mesh very well. And that's okay.
You know, a wise philosopher once said, you have to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Watch out.
I mean, seriously, you know, some people just aren't easy to be around. And but going back to being entertained, I mean, not everybody's good at entertaining. Know your weaknesses, you know?
Yeah, one particular person comes to mind right now. I'm kidding. He knows who he is.
Oh, man. Wow. No, yeah. So what's your favorite thing to do, like, if you're going to entertain your friends? Voices? I do voices.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's such a hard question. I don't know. Yeah. What do I do? Do a third person view on me. I mean, like, when you find me entertaining, what am I doing?
Okay. So you're usually talking about your life and talking about an experience that the experience itself is funny. So you're a good storyteller. You make it animated and you have facial expressions and your hands move.
Yeah.
You know, then it's funny, because if you were just telling a story and you're just sitting there boring, like, you know, it's like, it's a funny story. Wow. Yeah. Good job.
So I'm animated and goofy almost.
Yes. Yeah. You're like a live cartoon.
Somebody actually called me Blippi. Recently.
Oh, no.
They said their little kid was like, what do you think Blippi's like in real life? And they said, Matt Williams.
If you don't know what Blippi is, congratulations.
Yeah. Just hang in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it's past. If you don't know what Blippi is and your kids are already grown, then, you know, kudos, because you had to live through Baby Beluga. You remember the Baby Beluga? Yeah. Well, yeah. So
the Teletubbies, Barney. We still watch Barney at our house.
Yeah. He I think he's still relevant.
Yeah, but I mean, what he says is good.
What does he say? Does he talk?
Barney, the dinosaur? Mm-hmm. Dude, he talks, he sings, he's a tap dancer, he's a baseball player, he's an astronaut, he's a farmer.
I got to meet this dude.
He is incredible.
What I don't understand, look, here's the thing about Barney. This is why I never really got into Barney, sorry. I can't get over his color change. Like, one minute he's ferocious purple, and then next minute he's a dull, like, pastel purple.
I'll tell you what really got me was the feet changing. His costume feet changed.
Feet.
Yeah, and then I found out that there actually is a website that documents the entire costume change from the first season to the last season, and it's like his neck would get a little bit wider. They were trying different mechanisms for the character artist to do with moving his mouth, so that the head would change, the feet changed, the whole zipping up and down changed. It was interesting.
Make a note. I want to post that link. If we can find it, because, like, I'm interested in seeing the costume change of Barney. I mean,
so another one that from the 90s that was doing costume changes was Power Rangers. Of course, they changed
their storyline. Yeah.
But from the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, mm-hmm. from when they started with the spandex.
Is the best.
To the leather after the movie.
Oh, man. That was pretty epic when they switched over to the leather stuff.
Yeah.
After the first real movie.
Yeah, because they had that ninja costume too as well. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was pretty good.
So that was like... That was so good. Of who is it? Mattel, is that right?
Saban.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was. They really played their cards.
Or Saban. I don't know how you say it.
What's one or the other? I mean,
who cares?
Yeah, they played their cards really well.
Did they ever?
Coming from the TV show to theaters.
Oh man!
And then that transitioned to changing the rest of the TV show.
Yeah,
like because it changed directly after the.
Absolutely.
Hey, that was great scheduling on their part.
For our listeners right now, none of you got to see this, but as he's telling that story just now, his hand is like up in the air doing this windmill motion as he's trying to, you know, really drive home the point of the change of Power Rangers.
Speaking of windmill, at Kids Church this past Sunday, mm-hmm. we went over, of course, discipleship. And so these little kids, our story was that sometimes we can't feel God in our life because we're too far away. And we use an example of a windmill. So all the kids made their own little personal little fan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stood in front of one of them far away. I was like, can you feel the wind? And they're like, no. And I said, can you see the wind? And they're like, no. I was like, but the wind is there, I promise you. And as you get closer to the source, as you get closer to the source of that is creating this wind.
You start feeling it.
And I was like, we can't have expectations of, you know, God save me, God do this, God you're never here, God no. I was like, we can't have expectations of this God being present in our life if we're not doing anything to get close to the source, close to God. So we went over these steps of reading your Bible and praying with your parents and asking your parents questions and stuff like that, and who your friends are at church and things like that, whether or not they're building you up. So anyways, that was a great tool.
That's
of
cool.
The kids not being able to see the wind, not being able to see necessarily God, and then whether or not you can feel the effects in your life, and then being close to God is key for that.
So, that's great.
You know, sometimes fundamentals are what the adults need to hear.
Come on now, that'll preach all day.
Preaching to myself,
man. Hell. Okay, so if you were to make a commercial about something, what kind of commercial would it be? What would you advertise? And go.
It would be crash test dummies. I want to advertise. I want to be like the manufacturer of crash test dummies and have just a whole line of cars that I can crash.
Nice.
And like have, you know, cameras all over the place and stuff like
that. Yeah. You know what I always thought was weird is the guys that advertise for like really awkward adult products like Depend diapers, Polydent for dentures, but they don't have either one of those issues, you know, and you're like having to advertise for,
mm-hmm.
you know, Depends.
Right.
I don't want to be one of those guys.
I mean, what about the Preparation H guy?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Can you imagine walking back into your fantasy draft after shooting that commercial?
Hey, guys. Yeah, bro, you're at that table.
Hey, do you have any seats that are a little softer?
We had to do 42 takes of that commercial. Wow.
And it turns out I actually had the condition afterwards.
Hey, so if you're listening to this and you'd like us to film a commercial for your product or your company, we'd love to do that. We'd love to do that. You can find us at themattcast.us and send us a message, and we'd love to.
Yeah. So, you know, Chandler here, he's actually got experience in the whole production and stuff like that. I myself have actually been in development for a commercial for our chemical plant, and it was such a big deal, and we got so much attention from it internally that the CEO himself was like, hey, we need one of these for our parent company. Like, who's the guy? And I was like, you know, timidly, you know, I was like, me. I'm the guy. So yeah.
That's cool.
You got professionals here. So you want a commercial? Yeah, reach out to us at mattcast.us.
So one thing you may not know about me is I was in a short film about a serial killer who ends up killing this girl with a silver hammer. And I play this little boy in a Reebok ball cap.
This was, like last year?
Eight. Yeah, that's right. I was like 8 or 9, and I had one job. It was to run around this corner, run into the killer, fall on the ground, and then they had to do multiple shots of me staring at him like, what the heck, man? And him looking down at me like all ticked off, you know? So it took about like 25 minutes, and I was done. And yeah, I was in this little short film.
What, do we have access to this film?
There's a good chance that we do. It would be on VHS, but
that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll try to find it. I think I have a copy of it.
I would love to see this.
Yeah,
little Chandler.
Oh yeah,
little Ginger Chandler.
Big ears, freckles. Oh, runs this guy so falling down. Cute. Yeah, it was incredible. And then seeing the director's wife, she's playing this flower lady flipping off the serial killer because he didn't pay her for these flowers. It's a great family film.
Oh,
yeah,
that's mischievous.
Yeah, well,
okay. So that's commercials. Seriously though.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to get somebody to be like, all right, look, do a commercial for me. I'd be like, oh, yeah, like, I'd be so excited.
Yeah, I mean, we work for food.
We do. So, I mean, obviously, we like Taco Bell.
Yes, we do.
Dollar menu. I stay on the dollar menu. You got to live on a budget here.
That's right.
Ooh, what else we got?
So, something happened today here locally, and I want to get your opinion on it.
Da-na-na. Oh, I can't.
Oh gosh, we're gonna get sued one day. So there's a big to do in our community here in Orange, Texas right now about school dress code, and I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on strict school dress codes today. Go ahead.
Well, my daughter attends a private school, so she is in dress code. I have no problem with it. I think it's kind of It's really cute, like dressing them up in the uniforms. But a public school enforcing a certain dress code, guess what? That's old news. Like, I mean, even at Orangefield years ago, like you could, even in the 80s, you couldn't just show up. I mean, sure, that's we had big hair and stuff like that. And I mean, we didn't. I mean, we were still just a twinkle in our feathers. Into the late 80s. But anyway, I mean, that's nothing new. Like, look back in the 50s, you had the poodle skirts. And I'm not just talking about fashion, but I mean, like, these schools had to maintain some form of, I mean, just control here.
So the most obvious thing is that I don't understand why parents get mad about that. I can see when they would get mad if they bought regular clothes, street clothes, and then all of a sudden they got surprised with, hey, they have to be in a different uniform.
Right. Yeah.
I totally get that from a financial standpoint, but for the general, like, your hair has to be a certain length, facial hair needs to be trimmed, no holes in your jeans. Like, hey, look, you go to a workplace, even McDonald's has a dress code.
Yeah.
That's real life. Why are we mad about that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Now, you did hit the nail on the head right there. So the school might be reactive, okay, to a situation.
Sure.
So I understand that, yeah, okay, if it was controllable, the school should have put something up front like, hey, these are the expectations for the year.
Yeah.
You know, let's not wait until we're a week or two into it and be like,
that's right.
Everybody bought their, you know, everybody's excited for the school year. You go out and you spend a lot of money on school clothes just as the school would be like, hey, no, here's, you know, you can't have holes in these.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Because these, what's cool, Buckle or Tommy Hilfiger? What's in right now?
Jabot? I have no idea.
I don't know. I just wear Walmart. Your Walmart kneecap jeans ain't going to work, bro.
Oh, that's good. That's good. The old $5 Levi's.
That's, and George's is where it's at. That's right. Levi and George.
That's right.
So, I understand the parents' frustration, and honestly, I don't know the whole situation. I just know enough to kind of mention about it, but
yeah. And I also know this too. I taught school for a little bit, and, sometimes things happen in the school year, whether it be the beginning of the school year or the middle or whatever. And you have to make an announcement, you have to make a change and make a decision for the betterment of the whole school. And so sometimes these things come out and it's like, look, we have to make this decision and this is what we think is best. And so if you don't like it, run for school board.
I'm curious. Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you.
Mm, what?
You putting it there.
What?
I forgot what I was going to say now. My mic. Oh, no. Sorry. Sorry about that, guys. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I'm curious if this was like an isolated incident. So if it was just like one or two people, or if it was like they got to school and they were like,
yeah,
these children are not like.
So to give context for the people that are listening, they said no more ripped jeans.
Okay.
No more holes. You can't even wear fabric underneath the hole. It has to be solid jeans. So I'm assuming that someone's no-fly zone was showing, and they're like, look, you know what? To avoid this with anybody else, let's just say no holes.
Yeah, if your outerwear is just ripped to shreds to where your underwear is showing.
If you're wearing underwear, this is 2019, brother.
Yeah. Yeah. That might be a problem.
Just saying. Yeah.
All right. So moving on up.
What else we got?
Let me see. Oh, yeah. I'm so glad this was brought up. A single comment during the live feed was birthday parties, ?
Ah, birthday parties. So
that was it. Birthday parties, ? So thanks for that. Let's talk about some birthday parties. I don't know if they're looking for tips for their kids. Like, what do you get your husband for birthday party?
Yeah.
Like, do you invite his friends over?
Okay, so this is serious. Okay, so I don't like, and this is a problem for women more than it is for guys. Because guys, I mean, you really don't care.
Forget about it.
Most guys don't even want to go to birthday party. Let's be honest.
You give me a hamburger.
Unless you can go body slam kids on a, you know, dance floor mat or something like that, then you can do that.
Birthday party is at Urban Air in
Oh my goodness. Yeah, absolutely.
Down for that.
Zip lines, trampolines.
Push those kids out of the way.
Come on now. But there are a lot of women, without sounding, you know.
Oh boy. I feel an edit coming up. Let's take a pause of silence for our editing team.
So, there are women who will chastise other women for going all out on their kid's birthday. Even if it's like homemade stuff, they're like mad if they go all out. And then there's other women who go all out and get mad at the moms who don't go all out. I'm like,
what's the point?
What does it matter?
It's
about the kids. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Give them the experience. If you want to go all out, go all out. If you don't, don't. But don't focus on you. It's about your kid.
Yeah, so I come from a family, we didn't really do a whole lot for our birthday parties.
That's kind of sad. You want to talk about it?
Not really. Just get through them. No. We just didn't. We were more of a very, maybe that's why I am who I am today. on a good.
Who needs Dr. Phil?
No, we were very personal. So like our birthday parties were mostly family. So like we invited our families over.
Sure.
And I mean, I remember a few when I got in high school that I had friends over and hang out, but it was mostly just family. It was those that were closest to us.
Yeah.
We didn't really throw a big shindig. In fact, I remember one time I threw a huge shindig. It was awesome. And like, it was like Claiborne Park and blah, 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 blah. And none of my friends showed up. But I'll tell you what, you know who did show up?
Who?
All the pretty girls from school.
Hey,
I'm serious. But I don't know if it was like a pity show up or if they like just really like being there. But I do remember that. But none of my dude friends showed up. It was all these pretty girls from high school.
But, you want to talk about it?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Wow.
But anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah. Nowadays, I mean, especially with these basic moms and what have you, they're like going, I meant Pinterest, not basic.
Sure.
Yeah, basic moms and extra dads, they're going all out for their birthday parties, which is great. Like,
that's right.
Good deal. That kid's gonna have an experience.
Exactly.
And you know what, not everybody's creative.
That's right. Not everybody's funny, entertaining, creative.
Yeah. Not everybody's social. Like my family, even today, we still don't have huge, big shindigs. We're very, like, relational. Like, I mean, we're a small party. Like, I mean, we just are. Like, on my side of the family. On my wife's side of the family, it's, like, social hour every hour. Like, it's like, oh, who's walking through the door? Oh, it's so-and-so.
I feel like this is, like, a pilot for a sitcom. with like a new married couple. You got these big, loud family members. You got these real quiet, like introverts.
Yeah, the father-in-law is always in the kitchen cooking something all the time.
The hover cook, the helicopter cook.
And then the other side is like just in the corner, like having fun by themselves. Oh, no, you guys can cook.
No problem.
Yeah, no. Yeah, yeah, we don't want to be in the way. Just let us know when the food's ready.
What? Do you need something? Oh, okay. I'll be there.
That's right. Yeah, that would be a good TV show.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, what about you? You have anything about
birthday? So, when I was a kid, there was a time where we did like friend birthday parties. We did like... whatever the big thing was in, you know, like Barney or Power Rangers or Lion King. I did a Lion King birthday one year, just nothing nice. Like crazy, but we went to like the Natatorium downtown and had a swimming party and, you know, nothing like crazy. And now I prefer not to have anything crazy. I kind of like to be like chill.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I don't like the big hoopla.
Yeah. But I feel a responsibility to the kids sometimes. Like, I feel like okay, I got to make sure their friends show up.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, I am.
So here's a principle like I think is important for young parents to grab onto, is that if you want kids to show up to your kid's birthday party, you got to go to the other kid's birthday parties too.
That's right. You can't, it's like one-sided, like.
Yeah. I wish it was that way because I really am not a huge birthday party guy. Mm-hmm. Now, for my own kids, man, let's make it huge, if you know, whatever it is. But I really don't like going to parties, maybe because I don't like them for myself, and I just don't want to have to see someone else go through that because I think they may not like it either.
Yeah.
But that's projection, and that's not good. So,
yeah, this is the same thing with like, what's it called? Bridal showers. So, my wife, I think it's safe to say my wife really just does not like events. Like, she's a very like one-on-one type. She's got her really good friends that are like, you can't separate them. Mm-hmm. They're like just like glue. And then you've got, you know, the people that, you know, she just socializes with, but she's just not a big party goer. Never has been. So like, I know bridal showers are kind of like a thing for her. She's like, I'll go, you know. She literally had the idea of having a drive-through bridal shower where people could drive up and get a beverage and a cupcake and like drop off and give a hug, kiss, take a picture, and then leave. Like, she was like, I don't want to impose anybody's time, like make them feel like they need to stay and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, but you got to understand there are people that do want to stay.
That's right.
And like love on you for like an hour and a half and all that stuff. So it's a healthy balance.
Now, I did have, when we were getting married, I did have a bachelor barbecue.
Oh,
and a bunch of guys just came and hung out and they brought me some gifts, but they weren't, I said, don't wrap the gifts, just bring them.
Yeah.
We're not going to have like a gift opening session. Yeah. I'll just put them in the truck when we're done. Mm-hmm. Let's just hang out and have a good time. It was great.
Yeah, we had a man shower.
Nice. So one other question that was brought to our attention to talk about today is, how do we keep our manes tamed? Because we both have fantastic hair. So they want to know, what's our secret? What's your secret, Matt?
My wife cuts my hair.
All right.
Okay. Now, okay. You remember the Flo-Bee?
Wow.
Yeah, Wayne's World.
Excellent.
I used to have a Flo-Bee. Threw that thing in the trash. When it became uncool about 5 seconds after it launched.
Come on now.
We growing up, I had a Flo-Bee. That's what we used.
Is that why people didn't come to your birthday party?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Sorry. Too soon?
No, it's not. So, yeah, occasionally my wife cuts my hair, but when I have something important comes up, when I have something important coming up, I go to the professionals. There's two ladies locally that I use. Yeah.
Well, that's great. Yeah.
And then for the beard, I use this Amish wax.
Okay.
Yeah, it's beeswax, and they have a few other herb stuff in there, like black pepper and stuff. But I keep hitting this mic. I put it on, and then I have a beard comb. It's some kind of exotic beech wood made out of that I got online. They could have been lying to me, but
I've got one of those combs as well. I've got some natural beard oil and beard balm that I use as well to shape.
Balm. He said balm.
Mine's my beard's a little bit longer than yours, so sometimes I have to shape it and I have to trim it up every once in a while. Competition. Well, just saying. No, I do trim it or whatever. But yeah, I started using this new hair shampoo. It's a 2-in-1 shampoo. Mm. It's called Harry's.
Okay. Okay.
But here's what reminds me, I don't know what's in it, but I used to get my hair cut at Sports Clips, and they would shampoo my hair with some tea tree shampoo.
Yes, I know exactly what
it feels the exact same way, so I'm assuming it's the same type of product.
I think it's Crew is what they use.
Sure.
The menthol, or the...
Menthol, yeah, they switched to menthol.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, so it feels really good on my head, and it makes my hair look good. So, and then I use some hair gel. Here's a secret, okay? If you have long hair, but you want to, like, get some volume, you know, you guys that are listening to this.
Yeah.
Let you know my secret.
Extra.
You you towel dry your hair.
Mm-hmm.
Put a little bit of a shaping cream or gel or whatever in your hand.
I'd say about a quarter dab.
Sure. Rub it together until it gets real smooth in your hand.
Yep.
Run it through from the back to the front.
From the back to the front.
And massage it in. Get to the roots. All right.
Out of here. Okay.
Then you blow dry it in all different types of directions and shape it as you blow dry it. Then, if you need to add a little bit extra, you put a little bit, you know, some more of the gel or whatever it is, the wax on your fingers, kind of shape it a little bit more, blow dry it a little more, so you have like a dry, fixed look on your hair. If your hair gets too long, it's kind of hard to do that, so you can still do it a little bit, but I also use a little bit of hairspray sometimes to finish it off.
Yeah, you remember that time we had a really early meeting and we decided to have it at your house and you forgot about it, so I show up at like 6:30 a.m.
Yep.
And you open the door and you're like still rubbing your eyes, you're in your pajamas, and you're like, ah. But when you open the door, what you didn't know, from my perspective, the sun was to my back, so the sun was coming up. You open the door, and you're like, you're like a golden beast of a man. You're just like, your hair, like, you had bed head, I could tell, but it was still coifed. I don't know if you, like, tried to fix your hair.
You train your hair to grow a certain way.
You, like, open the door, and you're like, oh, man, I totally forgot, man. And I was like... How is this happening right now? I'm pretty sure there was like a,
So I rehearsed that for a long time, waiting for the right moment to do it, you know? Like they did in the movies. Like, how did you wake up with makeup and perfect hair when you get out of bed?
It was like burnt gold, like, all over the door, and then your hair, when the sunlight hit the hair, and like, I was just like, what's happening right now? Like,
you tasted a little bit of greatness. Okay. Oh my gosh. Well, I think we have time for maybe one or two more these topics to talk about. There's some pretty heavy hitters on this list, and maybe we should wait to do those. I'm not sure, but I'll throw one out there. This is like a big one, okay? Like real big. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. For all you guys listening, we're going to kind of get a serious tone here to kind of wrap things up.
I hate getting serious.
Okay, so here's a question that was asked by a wonderful lady. She said, why are so many pastors falling into sexual sin? And go.
Yeah, so this is me getting really uncomfortable because it was a serious conversation.
Wait, why are you blushing right now?
Oh my gosh, because I don't like getting serious, dude.
Was it the word sin? Is that what got you?
No, it was the word sexual that got me.
Okay.
Not sin. I can take on sin all day, bro. Oh my gosh. So many pastors fall into sexual sin. So again, it's not necessarily something new.
Yeah, that's
right. It's just we have more media coverage. You're hearing more about it.
Social media. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. But I think it's still the same problem and the same steps that has been, you know, since we've had spiritual leaders. It doesn't. It's not just one big decision that makes their whole career and their whole leadership fall apart. It starts in the smallest of places. It starts in how you think.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not conditioning your mind a certain way, Christ-like, then you're going to allow these other things that have impressions on your life to, you know, keep your mind busy. You're going to allow these thoughts that aren't going to develop a healthy lifestyle into your mind. And I mean, you always hear, you know, people say like, you got to be careful with, you know, what you wash now, you know, you can't be washing this, can't be washing that. And that's true. But I would say focus on what you think about the utmost when, you know, you're the only one, you're the only one that's, you know, listening to the narrative in your head, and you're the other side of the narrative. So what are you thinking about? What are you talking to yourself about? How are you seeing these situations? And then you know your weakness better than anybody else.
That's true.
So if your weakness is touching, so like I have a safety bubble.
Oh.
I do. Like I'm not a touching fan. Like I'm just not. I'll do a side hug.
Sure.
But like,
are we talking like opposite sex, right?
Or yeah, just
in
actually,
general, you have like a touching thing with in general, like guys, girls, it doesn't matter to anybody.
No, yeah, definitely to the opposite sex for sure. And I mean, there are like, you know, when certain guys touch me, I'm just like, ugh! But no, definitely with the opposite sex. I have like a safety bubble that I'll do a side hug, but like if anybody touches like or grabs my arm or like, especially if I'm not ready for it, I'm just like it's like I fade in the back, and I'm like, I get like, I freeze up, and I'm like, yeah, oh my goodness, what do I do? Like, I get super weird. It's just, but I guess that's how I've tried to condition myself to get weird and like close up. I close up.
Well, if there
like,
is a moment that's trying to develop, that will definitely kill the moment.
Yeah. Sweaty palms and all.
They went to fireworks.
Yeah. Like, I was really attracted to this guy. All of a sudden, he turned into a wet noodle. Why is he laying on the ground? Unconscious.
Someone call this man an ambulance. Yeah, I think, too, to add to what you said, it was really good. I think a lot of pastors, when they choose not to have accountability in their life,
yes,
that's when they start seeing those small things begin to develop in their brains. Romans 12:2, very familiar verse when you talk about this kind of stuff, but it says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. These passions that fall into these sins, you know, everybody has a struggle. I mean, obviously, there's things that everyone struggles with, but when you don't have an accountability partner that you can openly talk to and say, hey, look, I'm having some issues here. But I've found that a lot of these guys that are doing this, if you listen to their stories after the fact, it's like nothing that was sexual started the journey for them to go down that path of sexual sin.
Right.
And, you know, frustrations with the church or how they're being treated or the pressures of the ministry that unless you're a pastor, you don't know what that's like. You know, those kind of things like that, without the accountability, even with that, to openly talk about, hey, I'm just struggling with just ministry in general, then all of a sudden you start to, you know, compromise in your thoughts, and then you start listening to things that aren't godly, whether it be, you know, television, radio, talk radio, whatever it is, and then your brain becomes desensitized to certain things that it wasn't before, and now it's like justified to do whatever it is when you do, you know, pornography, prostitution in a hotel room, sleeping with someone that's not your wife or your husband. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah. Accountability for pastors, really anybody in leadership I think it's really hard for anybody in leadership to have that accountability person because you're opening yourself up and you're allowing somebody to see the weakness.
Yeah, that's right.
And as a leader, you don't want to show weakness. You want to be like, you know, like, no. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I've got it all together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is. It's very difficult for leadership to have accountability.
Well, and I'll say too, without sounding too harsh, but the church has been so stupid when it comes to leaders and their struggles, and that's why most leaders won't talk about their struggles because the church has been so stupid.
Yep.
You know, we're judgmental. We chastise. We kick people to the curb. I'm like, you know, if we're really supposed to be a healing place and a place of transformation, sometimes our leaders are going to have problems. They're going to make mistakes. Where else should they be able to go to get healing and restoration and transformation than the church?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, I can sin, but the pastor can't. You know, that he can't make a mistake or she can't do this or that. It's like, come on, guys, quit being so stupid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, but going back to the original question, why are so many pastors falling into sexual sin? Someone once put it this way, and it really just painted a good picture for me. For the husbands who end up or might end up cheating on their wife, in a workplace setting. So I just want to kind of get this canvas painted for y'all. It's not like, you know, the husband has a girl at the workplace and they somehow wind up either at a hotel room or a long lunch break and then, whoops, they cheated on their yeah. spouse. It was, it started off on things like maybe going to lunch as a whole group.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, this person couldn't go, and then they're going to lunch, a group of three. And then, you know, weeks, you know, go by, and then all of a sudden, you know, just the guy and the girl are going to lunch, and it starts out innocent, and then accidentally touch the hand, and then, you know, and it's like, oh, she didn't pull back. Like, mm-hmm. oh, she didn't pull back. Oh, she didn't pull back. And then as a guy, you're like, I still got it. Like, she didn't pull back. Like, hoorah, you know, like, I still got it. I could date if I wanted to. Yeah. And then, like, so let's say your home relationship isn't as healthy as it should be. Like,
right.
you're not giving like you should be, or you're not receiving like you think you should be.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, okay, so, but this person didn't pull back when, you know, I touched the hand, and my wife says she's just got a headache. And so, like, you know, so you're like, I wonder if I can, like, just set the stage and maybe make another hand touch. And so you're at lunch again, and you're like, oh, that's your drink. But, you know, you grab your hand, and you're like, right. Oh, she didn't pull back.
Yeah.
It's like,
classic.
Yeah, it's there. She didn't pull back, bro.
Classic.
Yeah, boom.
No pullback. That's it. That's right.
And then all of a sudden, that's when it's these small compromising decisions or mistakes that end up, you're like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
And it's 9 times out of 10 too late when you realize,
sure.
how did I get here?
I think if I hear you right, what you're saying is there has to be some intentional boundaries set in your life.
Yep.
If not, you will end up compromising. I would say 100% of the time, if you don't have a boundary with whatever it is, you're going to compromise.
Yeah. I think that's why I was so passionate about The Wife is Second.
Yeah.
Is because that story that I heard, you know, years ago really stuck in my mind mm-hmm. for a long time. And so The Wife is Second is so important to always have. Your home should be your not command center, not to sound like a dude, like, just it should be your rock, your foundation.
Yeah.
Like your wife, your house, like, that should be your hub,
safe place.
Yeah, your safe place. And if you're not communicating with your wife the way you should be, if you're not leading the family the way you should be, for guys or moms or whatever,
sure.
if PC over here, if you're not living the life you should be, then things are going to happen. We're human.
That's right.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Episode five.
That's right. Well, to close out, if you are in a place like that, listen, we'd love to pray with you. If you send us a message privately, we'd love to pray over you. If you've got some of those issues you're walking through, and we want to encourage you, find some accountability. Set boundaries and don't let problems escalate to a place where you begin to fill the or cover the pain with things that aren't healthy and good for you. So thanks for listening today. I had a good time today. This was a good podcast.
I really did. It went by really quick.
Yeah, good show.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, I want to challenge you one more thing, is go to Instagram, find us, the MattCast, like, follow, whatever, Facebook as well. We want to interact with you guys. We're going to be putting some content out, and we want to hear from you. We'd love to just feel the love from you, that we're hitting you where you are, and that we're producing some stuff that touches your soul.
That's
so
right.
We're
putting content out on our personal feeds, and we're kind of wanting to centralize it so we can get better statistics. So if we could put this stuff out on the MattCast, that's why we need everybody to subscribe to the MattCast, and then we'll link the MattCast to our personal pages. But that way we have better statistics, and we can see everything that we need. All right, thanks for tuning in, guys. Remember, subscribe. Thanks for listening.
yep.
Bow.